And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister, Mare Bear.
What up, everybody?
And this week we are continuing through Season 9 of The Office with Episodes 11 and 12, Suit Warehouse and Customer Loyalty.
Trudging right along trudging through 3 feet of snow.
It's brutal, boss. Before we jump into this week's episode, Mare Bear, anybody who missed last week's show, tell them what they missed.
Sure, guys. Let me take you back to the only highlight of Season 9 thus far,
yeah.
Dwight Christmas, where they do a traditional Pennsylvania Dutch Christmas for Dwight's heritage, essentially. Yes, he dresses up as Belschnickel. We find out that Jim has to leave for an investors meeting early or some shit like that.
And Dwight's feelings are hurt.
He is. We find out the entire, background of Belschnickel. Belschnickel is nice. Cheer or fear. Belschnickel is here.
He's so nice.
He beats Jim with a bunch of sticks. He beats Oscar with a bunch of sticks.
Because
they say he was impish, not admirable.
That's right.
Let's see. Oh, Angela, as we recall, figured out that Oscar was the one who was having an affair with her husband.
It wasn't a girl.
And she puts a hit out on him.
Mm-hmm.
She wants him murdered.
Wait, this was the Christmas episode?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Fuck, no, guys, sorry, my notes are all fucked up.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say,
wait a second. Saw Trevor runs away. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
No, guys, sorry, I fucked up. That's my bad.
No, it's just Dwight
It actually
does...
wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, Dwight serves pork stomach. Jim comes back to make Pam happy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But it was a fun episode.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, and Nellie and Toby make out.
Yeah, hardcore. Yeah. Like, sloppy.
Yeah. And then episode 10 was Lice. And basically, Pam is overwhelmed because Jim's in Philly, and it's a lot harder than she thought it was. Cece gets lice from daycare. She thought she was up all night handling it, but turns out she didn't handle it correctly. And she brought lice into the office. So then everybody blames Meredith for it because she's like the dirty crotch rocket.
Because she treats her body like an outhouse.
Yes. And so then Meredith shaves her head, says that these little guys must have migrated from down south. Meanwhile, we figure out basically Jim is like having the time of his life. What was the famous basketball star
he was meeting with? Dr. J.
Julius Erving. That one. Yeah. And he was just like, oh, Pam, I have this such an important meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And
technically, it is important.
It is, but he's having, the time of his life, and she's trying to, downplay how stressed out she is to make him, because she's like, he's so stressed out, and he's, sipping smoothies.
She's doing the same thing, though, because, everything's falling apart for her, but she's pretending like it's okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're both doing it.
Yeah.
But, and so then it ends with Meredith and Pam. Well, everybody finds out that Pam is the one who brought the lice in, because,
her mom calls
her
on speaker.
Her mom calls her, yeah. And, Plop and Aaron, I guess. Aaron's attracted to him.
We're
going to
be
now.
Talking about that shit, yeah.
Fuck that. But then Meredith and Pam go out as single mothers, essentially, and have a beer together.
At the bog.
And that's how it ends.
Okay, this season sucks, guys. I'm not going to cut corners here.
Dwight Christmas, again, was the highlight.
Me and Mare Bear shared a delicious dinner tonight, and we were talking about it. It's just, this is, inexcusably bad this season.
Listen, guys,
for what
I
preceded
love The Office.
It, yeah, for what preceded it, I am very, very mad that I have to do this.
Yeah.
And that we're trying to get it in, we want to get it over with.
Well, the worst part is, we were saying to our mother, we're recording these episodes tonight, and she goes, why is it always the bad shows that get so many seasons? And I'm like, hey. Yeah. It was a great show until this season.
And then a nice family dinner turned very aggressive. So, we'll get into this one. This is episode 11, Suit Warehouse. And the cold open, David Wallace notifies Dwight that Stone & Son Suit Warehouse is available for to go poach. Dwight does a talking head about how him and Jim sold the family businesses by posing as brothers. The Schrupert brothers?
The Schrupert.
And it has them in costumes, going to a construction site dressed, in flannel and jeans.
Yeah, as Al Borland.
Yeah, and then there's, as bikers. I like that one. Where they actually look like space balls.
Yes.
Yeah. But Dwight wants him to join in, but Jim's busy in Philly. So, and then, Jim gives him, a math riddle, because Jim's like, Dwight's like, if you drive this fast, you can be here and so on.
Yeah.
And he hangs up, and Dwight's like, oh, shoot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cold open. We open up the regular show here with Daryl dressed up for an interview, and he's going down to Philly for it, for Jim's athlete.
Athlete.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a bad name. So Pam tags along because she wants to see Jim because, hey, Andy's not here. There's no boss. Apparently, you know, it's just inmates running the asylum. Which I'm going to get into because so far this season, aside from like him being on the boat and Aaron every once in a while, they don't really mention Andy.
No.
But by mentioning him explicitly in this episode, they bring to light the fact that he's not there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about it at the end of this episode, how this season comes across with that shit. She tells Aaron to cover a shipment of pins that's coming in. And Aaron's like all confused. Like, what does that mean? How do I do this? What? I wasn't prepared for this. She can't sign for a box of pins, apparently.
Like, okay. Okay. No. I'm sorry. So last episode in Lice,
like
she was the fucking like project manager of like, listen, I've dealt with this. This is what we have to do. Mm-hmm. Like, and she was like super serious about everything. In control. A competent fucking person. Yeah. And then now she's like, oh, how do I sign for pins?
Like
pins, Pam.
Like she doesn't get packages at the front desk anytime. You know what I mean?
Do I put them away? Do I not? What's my responsibility
the
here?
Writing of the season is so half-assed. It's so half-assed.
I hate her character.
Clark comes back dressed like fucking Bon Jovi. With like a scarf around his neck and everything. He's back from his trip with Jan. And everyone's like asking him how it was. And he does a talking head where he says it was like making love to a wild animal. But not like a cougar like you think. More like a swarm of bees who find something wrong with every hotel room.
I did like that.
No.
I did enjoy
so,
that.
So Meredith has a long black wig on now at this point, from you know, post-Lice. And she says, like my mom says, talk classy, act nasty. And so I guess Jan gave them an espresso machine.
Yes.
For the office. It's like a gift to everyone. And everybody's like all excited. Like they all get all animated about it. We see Dwight goes back to Clark in the annex and asks him to pretend to be his son on a sales call. Mm-hmm. And Clark's basically only doing it because he wants to be a salesman. He's like, well, if I keep doing this, he's like, I nailed Jan and got you that sale. If I do this, like, eventually I'll be a salesman.
Yeah.
So we see Aaron walks in to the kitchen where everybody's like assembled now putting this espresso maker together. And Plop is like, oh, hey, what's going on? And she blows him off and gets the espresso, runs out, and she does a talking head where she says she's all stressed about the pins and shit, but she's also intimating guilt. She says, oh, like, I don't want to mess up the pins for somebody and ruin their trust, you know, the pins. She's talking about Andy.
I fucking hate her.
The storyline is garbage.
Oh my.
It's death.
They literally murdered this character by giving her such stupid
storylines. Well, it's just, like you said, it's the ebb and flow. Yeah. Where, like, one week she's, like, a totally different character. Like,
and that's what I mean.
That's like, why I say the writing on the show is just, like, it's a crime. What has been going on since the beginning of season 9.
They actually murdered her character. Because if you remember back when she just started dating Andy, when Michael was still there, he took her out for Boss's Day. Mm-hmm. She was, like, playing up the whole, like, oh, I'm an orphan. Like, I'm hiding in my hair. My mm-hmm. hair was my room. Like, she had a naivete to her that was endearing, that made people, like, want to root for
her. She was an underdog.
Yeah. And now she's a fucking idiot one day, some and would then say she's going to, like, cure cancer the next day. No. Like, what the fuck?
It's rough.
Rewatching it, like, I never...
These are all new to me, by the way. I know you're, like, a diehard who's seen all of these before. Like, I still have to point out, I think, that these are all brand new to me. Like, these are all brand... Like, I've never
Kevin's
seen these
never
before.
Seen any of
and
these.
It's just hitting me, like, because, like, I may come across as, like, a harsh critic sometimes of the show, mm-hmm. but seriously, like, seasons 2 through 7 are...
Gold.
Even parts of season 8 are pretty enjoyable.
Oh, my God,
especially
yeah.
the stuff with California. This is rough. This is bad television.
As somebody who has rewatched this episode, like, more times than I'd like
more
to admit.
More times than the person should.
Yeah. The series, I should say. Not this episode. The mm-hmm. series. I kind of was, like, whatever with Aaron. Like, I knew she wasn't the strongest or my favorite character.
She added
watching
something,
watching it like this has actually made me hate her.
Like,
I hate her character.
I don't hate her as much as Andy.
I hate Andy's character.
I hate Andy, yeah. I despise him with the...
Plop is, like, a nothing. He's a piece of cardboard in the background.
Plop is just a prop, honestly.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, Pam and Daryl are in his car, and he's worried about the interview or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Pam tries to calm him down by saying, like, Jim's a dork. He's basically Gumby with hair.
Yeah, I did like that.
It's just going to be an office full of Jims. Like, there's nothing to be worried about.
Yeah.
It's Dwight...
a little startup.
Yeah, and whatever. So Dwight and Clark are with the old man at the suit store, the Stone of Stone and Sons, I guess we'll say. And, you know, I recognize the guy. I was too lazy to look him up. Do you know what I think I actually remember him from? When I was 10 years old, Disney Channel came out with a movie called Under Wraps at Halloween time.
Yes.
With a mummy. Is that the guy?
I'm almost positive.
He's like the old man.
I'm almost positive. I'm going to pull it up really quickly.
It should also
really
be noticed that the mummy in said movie was played by Dauber from Coach.
Or Ed Lauder.
Oh, is that his name? That's him, though, right?
Yes, he was in Under Wraps.
Ah, there he is. Okay. Yep. So 10-year-old me, like, marked out. I was like, oh my god, the movie with Patrick the Star as the mummy. Got it.
Oh my god, that was
So, they're talking to him, and Dwight and Clark are trying to endear themselves. Like, oh, you're a family, like, we're a father-son team. Mm-hmm. And they talk about hunting, because the old man likes hunting. And Clark talks about how Dwight snuck up on a deer and cut its head off with a saw.
Yeah, he just sawed that deer's head off.
So,
sick.
Back at the office, everyone is like starting to get geeked up on caffeine. And Oscar says they should try all 16 espressos.
How else will they know what to order?
And then he yells, YOLO!
Oh, that was cringy. Yeah.
And they all agree to drink the different types, and they put their hands in for like a basketball team.
Yeah.
Angela refuses to do it, so they all move over to her. She puts a napkin down. She's like Niles Crane. And she puts her hand in. And then as they break, Phyllis goes, what happened to my ring? Yeah. And Creed just goes, I'm sure it'll turn up.
I'm actually like enjoying the ensemble storyline.
This storyline is garbage in the end. It's funny. It has its moments. In the end, I hate it.
Oh, yeah. And
we'll get there.
Shark.
We'll get there. Oh, it does. So, Pam and Daryl arrive, and she's, like, impressed by this place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what she was expecting. She was expecting, like, literally a garage.
Yeah, like a
Steve Jobs in the
table.
70s.
Yeah.
And it's, like, you know, it's a brick wall.
Facebook
exposed
energy.
Exposed brick.
Oh, God.
People at their desk. It's people so moving around like it's the fucking West Wing.
They all have Bluetooth.
Yeah, it's, like, the West Wing. And these people all look like the douches who walk into a house and go, open concept. You know what I mean?
They look like the douches from Wolf of Wall Street.
Or, I still haven't seen that.
Or what's the one Matthew McConaughey? I think that's what it is.
No,
was
he wasn't in that. He was in Dallas Buyers. No, it wasn't Dallas
Buyers. No, it definitely Dallas wasn't Buyers.
Oh, I know what one you're thinking of, though.
But he's like,
Yeah, The Lincoln Lawyer? Why are you hitting
it's
yourself?
Not that's what he does in the movie. Like, he bangs on his chest. He's like, those are rookie numbers. You gotta pump those new numbers up.
I don't know.
Guys, if you know what movie it is, please tweet us.
The only thing I know about McConaughey is he wears orange suits on the sidelines at Texas football games.
He's a Tennessee guy.
No. Oh, my God. He'd kill you. No, he's from Kilgore, Texas.
Oh, nah. I thought he was Tennessee. Maybe I was just thinking the orange. Was there a Tennessee?
Yeah, Tennessee Volunteers are orange.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, we could talk about college football all day.
No, we got to get back through these episodes.
Yeah, because I want to get them over with. yeah, they arrive, and she's all impressed in that. And Jim's, like, so happy to see her and everything. Mm-hmm. And, like, oh, my God, Jim and Pam.
Surprise!
We're back to Jim and Pam. Dwight finds out the father is displeased with his son.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he turns on Clark.
Who's out at his car getting something.
Yeah. And then he comes back, and he still thinks they're trying to impress the guy. So then Dwight's like, we hate each other now.
He's like, hey, Dad, I missed you, even though I was only gone for three minutes.
Yeah, and Dwight's just like, what were you doing, loitering like a hoodlum and smoking a doobie? So then he, like, leans in, he's like, we hate each other now.
Yeah.
So, Pam, Jim, and Daryl are together, and they find out that Jim hasn't gotten a paycheck yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like a nice little thing, detail to add in
there.
Because that's when Daryl's like, ooh, Facebook energy, this place is impressive, I love it. Jim's like, I haven't really gotten a paycheck yet, so it's not, you know, that big
yet. It's not that great.
And they go in for the interview. Pins arrive now. And Erin is caffeinated and doesn't know what to do. She's, like, putting them on the shelf. Or is this the part? Mm-hmm. She's, like, putting them on the shelf, taking them off, and plops there. And she, like...
He's like, somebody's going to think you're the office administrator if you're doing that.
Oh, no, that's coming up later. I know that part's coming up. I don't know. I just wrote this down. I don't know what happened. Pins arrive. Obviously, it's not important.
I just know I noted that Kevin was lifting Angela like she was...
That's the next
a
scene.
A dumbbell.
Yes. Because everyone is still in the kitchen, and they're getting geeked up, and mm-hmm. Kevin starts lifting Angela up, and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. She's, like, panicking.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight and Clark continue to fight. Dwight claims that his last girlfriend was a transvestite with a massive Adam's apple.
Oh, God.
And Clark says that his dad got drunk and killed a bunch of kids on prom night. And then, like,
Dwight's... He's like, oh, what about the treats that you used to take from the kitty litter?
Yeah, Dwight starts doing this thing about how he followed the cat around with his hands open, hoping to catch more treats. And, like, doing, like, an Oliver Twist, can I have more?
It's weird shit, man.
And that's when the son arrives in. He's like, oh, what's going on here? And Dwight says, oh, that's a cat turd collector if I ever saw one. Daryl's interview now, he makes, so they say the word mandate. And Daryl's like, mandate reminds me of like two guys on a date. But I have a gay friend, Oscar. Like he, then he tries like digging out of it and everything. And he's like off of his game and he's looking around and he sees like these quote unquote professional people. And he's like, you know, I'm wasting your time. I'm not, like, I don't have the qualifications here. Yeah. And that's when they're like, no, Daryl, like I was a newspaper editor. The one was a science teacher. One worked at Home Shopping Network.
One was a volleyball coach. Yeah.
And the guy, one guy's like, I'm a lawyer. I'm the only one who could do anything here. Yeah. And he just starts over again and he's like charming and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got it. Back at the office, Stanley is a ray of sunshine at 2 p.m., which is his usual.
This is what 2 p.m. looks like.
This was about the time where he went, the power of the triangle in last season.
Yeah.
This is when Plop now comes in and says, because she's putting the pens up, oh, you look like the new office admin. And Aaron starts panicking, and Kevin flies by on a chair. He's scooting around on an office chair, like in a fighter jet, mm-hmm. shooting up guns. He's like, I'm telling Pam. And then Aaron freaks out and starts taking the pens off the shelf and putting them away and like, I can't do this. And fuck it. Is Pete the only one not drinking the caffeine?
Apparently.
That's what it seems like.
I fucking because he's like hate cool as a cucumber about stuff. Her and him.
So the receptionist at this place, Athelede, tells Pam that it's a bummer. He works part-time in Scranton. We love to have you guys. Can't wait for you guys to move here.
Yeah.
And Pam's just like, well, I think he works in part-time here and lives in Scranton. And she has like this what the fuck face on.
Yeah, like, she's like, what do you mean when we move here?
So, the son is now with Dwight and Clark. And
I love how the dad's like, oh, I'm just here for the human contact.
Yeah, I don't really run the business anymore. Because like Dwight's talking shit on sons.
Yeah.
And then like, Clark just starts making the sale. He's just like, well, here's some paper and you know, whatever. Daryl aces the interview.
Yep.
And it's, you know, he pretty much seems like he got it. He's like, I think us working together would be like a Kevin Durant jump shot. And he grabs a basketball, shoots it up at a basketball hoop in the room. It hits the rim, smashes into a light, which falls into a fish tank. He kills all the fish.
Electrocutes them all. Yeah,
and everybody's just like, it's one of those moments.
The poor fish. Yeah. They're all just floating.
Yeah, they float to the top. So Pam tries comforting him out in the reception area. She's like, well, why did they put a basketball hoop next to a fish tank?
Who does that?
Yeah. And like, she goes off on this anti-Philadelphia screed.
What's so cool about Philadelphia?
Everybody acts like it's New York or London. And it's like, I think we went off on this a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think we did.
Because like, Philadelphia fucking sucks. Like, and they do act in the show like Philadelphia is a big deal. Like, no. People go to Philadelphia become cranky, cantankerous assholes. And the ones who live there are already cranky, cantankerous assholes. Like,
unlike the people who live in Scranton.
No, they're just cranky. They're not cantankerous. But, yeah, Northeasterners, as a rule, the further west you go, until you get to about Nevada, people get nicer and nicer.
Yeah,
they
do.
Because once you hit, like, the Mormons out in the Rocky Mountains, like, oh, my God, they're so kind.
Sweetest people.
Yeah. So, anyway, Pam's comforting him, and, like, he's, like, buying in. He's like, yeah, I'd miss Jada. Like, I don't want to live in Philly, you know.
Yeah.
And then Jim tells him he got the job, and Daryl turns it around. And Pam is visibly, like, upset. Like, she seems, like, distressed.
But she's like, oh, my God, we're going to lose Daryl.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how she plays it off. Mm-hmm. The office workers are now sweating profusely.
Oh, my God. And trying disgusting. To open windows.
Yeah.
Oh.
Clark convinces Dwight to buy suits. They get, like, Italian silk.
Yeah.
And they look like Reservoir Dogs or something.
Yeah, they definitely do.
So, everyone now...
Mr. Mustard or Mr. Beat and Mr. Creepy.
You like that movie?
So my husband loves it.
Maybe we'll cover
that's
it.
That's one of his favorite movies.
I never knew that about Scotty.
For Christmas one year, I got him a shot glass set.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it has all the different Mr.
White, sweet.
Mr. Pink, Mr. Orange... on shot glasses.
So this happens now, where everybody is so caffeinated, they decide to move the copier to the annex, like they always wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so they start moving it, and they rip up the carpet, and Oscar's like, hardwood! I knew this was here! But Oscar Which discovered the hardwood! Here. He discovered it when Dwight shot off his gun.
Yes!
Okay. So then they're all like, oh god, this carpet, you know. Daryl is in and Pam are in the car, and he's all jacked up, singing mm-hmm. a song. Pam looks like, gloomy Gus. The office workers are now ripping up the carpet. And at 5 o'clock, they're like, time to leave! And they get into a traffic jam in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Dwight and Clark leave with suits and a sale. And it turns out the cat turd story was all Dwight's. It was from his youth.
Weird shit, man.
Yeah. Daryl and Pam get back to the office. They walk in. It's all destroyed. Just, like, shit has moved all around.
The desk the wood, everywhere. Yeah,
the floor is exposed. Carpet's everywhere. And Aaron's, like, storming out. And Pam's like, what happened? The pins happened, Pam. You put me in charge for the pins, and this happened. And that's the end of the episode. I gave this one a 2.4.
As did I, actually. Okay.
There was only two times in this episode that I could say were funny. One was Daryl's jump shot. Yeah. And the other was probably
Clark and Dwight,
like, initially.
Yeah.
Because that one kind of got put into the ground, too.
The cold open was good for me, too.
It was all right. But, it's solid. Just, like, the sight gag of him and Jim, like, going on sales calls in their costumes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But, otherwise, I want you to go off. Go off. Just say what you want to say. I know you got stuff to say.
Listen, the espresso storyline was great until they, went over the edge.
I hated it.
Like, I feel like all of these storylines had such good...
Potential,
and they literally jumped the shark on every fucking one of them.
Okay,
how did... And I don't know how that's even possible with one episode with three different storylines that you can fuck every single one of them
up.
I wouldn't say they... Okay, they didn't fuck them up, but
They fucked some of them up. Yeah.
They went too far.
I don't think they fucked up Dwight and Clark.
No,
I think
that one was just like. There was too many scenes of
them bickering with the old man. Yeah.
Yes, there was too many. If you just cut one of those out,
And then the son arrives, and then they recalibrate or something like that.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the Daryl storyline.
No, Daryl was funny, and Pam looking bitchy all episode.
No, but Pam, that's... Okay, so here's my struggle with Pam.
This is a marriage based on bad communication.
It's a comedy show, but it's showing a realistic picture of a marriage that's going through changes.
Yeah.
So, I can't totally hate on it, because if my husband came home and was like, hey, I want to invest all of our savings, or almost all of our savings, into this startup with my college buddies, and I'm going to move...
I feel like this could happen.
And I'm going to move to Philadelphia for half the week and leave you with the
two
kids.
That's the deal breaker, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Who wants to go to Philly? Go Birds. But
you know what I mean? It's a realistic representation of, what would happen to an actual marriage should that happen. But it's also a comedy show.
Thank you.
We've also been following this couple since the very beginning. So it's part of me is I understand where they're going with it, but it's also dragging down the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
It's a difficult balance that they haven't found this season.
I tend to usually give the show a pass when they go serious sometimes because it is a show based on a documentary of real people.
Yes.
So yeah, there are going to be moments like that.
Yeah.
However, this is turning into This Is Us or something. You know what I mean? With Jim and Pam.
Yeah.
It's a little too dramatic. A little too... last week when he... Oh, no, it's the... Never mind, I think it's the episode coming up. I was saying the same thing. Yeah, which we will deep dive and talk about. But, I remembered. I said earlier about Andy. I wanted to talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
This episode brought it to light because they brought up Andy, that he's not there.
Yes.
As if the actors themselves are mailing it in this season. I'm not talking about them as office workers, the people.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the actual actors. Ed Helms is just I'm going to do a movie and skip half the season. And Clark
it's been
took...
more than half, I feel like.
It's Well, yeah, that was episode 4 or something, right?
Yeah, it was early on.
Yeah, we're on, 11 now? So, but he just... pieces out. Clark missed five episodes.
Yeah.
And
this is the only season.
Yeah, this is the only he just showed up. And it's just Jim
is
like...
I wonder if he was doing Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, that's...
Well, Daryl's in that
Yeah,
too,
he
though.
Is too. Yeah. Huh. But Jim is... The character is out half the... he's not interacting with everybody. It feels everyone is half-assing this season.
Mm-hmm.
They're just oh, this is the last one, whatever. And the show is suffering so bad. Not that I miss Andy or anything like that.
No.
But I'm just saying it sends the message that, if these actors can't bother
can't
to be on...
Can't even show up.
Yeah. Has Wallace even made an appearance this season? I don't think he... That was at the end of season 8 when he put Andy in charge, right?
Yeah. Because that's when we saw Robert
We haven't even seen David Wallace. We get him on the phone a few times, and that's it. Everybody... It just seems like they're half-assing everything about it.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Because I always loved when David Wallace came into the office.
Yeah, because he was a straight man.
Yeah.
Especially in an episode like this where everybody's insane.
Off. If he showed up while they were tearing up the carpet, he's just funny. What the fuck?
But yeah, so it was bad. What's yeah. next again?
Next is Customer Loyalty, episode 12.
Okay, before we get there, why don't you tell everybody where they can
find us? Sure, guys. You can find us on Twitter, at Brosis Podcast. Hit us up there. We like to, share our favorite screen grabs from the episodes that make us laugh. It's usually the small spots that make us laugh this season. But we also, interact. We share what episodes we're going to be covering on the podcast. Kevin's always very active.
I like to talk about stuff. And music and music. Sports and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can also email us your feedback at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. Kevin, why don't you tell us where they can find us.
Tell the people tell the people whose ears we are in right now.
Yes.
That you wherever you're listening to us right now, or if you want to, you can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll find us. You can also find us each and every Monday on the Jenny Position podcast feed. You'll find us as well as other great shows such as Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, and more. Mm-hmm. Subscribe today. And that'll bring us up to episode 12 of season 9, Customer Loyalty.
All right, guys.
Go ahead and enjoy, enjoy this one.
You ready, guys? So, guys, the cold open. Dwight is complaining about how many old accountant, old folders of old accounts there are. Mm-hmm. But then he finds a letter from Robert Dunder, basically saying that he has the Holy Grail and has hidden it. So then, of course, Pam calls Jim while all of this is happening. She's like, did you write, something about the Holy Grail? And he's like, oh my god, the Dunder Code. And then we find out that he wrote it years ago when the Da Vinci Code was big. And it's basically a scavenger hunt around the office.
It should also be noted that they showed archival footage of young Jim, like, from years ago. Putting, and it's basically current Jim, because he's, like, all muscular now. He's not, like, skinny,
he's
like, season
like,
two.
He's got, like, a bad shaggy wig on.
He's not, like, season two Jim. It's, like, obviously, like, the action star John Krasinski doing this.
But, he's, like, then Dwight's following all the clues, and it's, like,
and people start joining in.
Yeah, because, like, there's an X. So then they go to the annex, and then it's, like, a royal flush, or, like, it's something about, the seat that enters, it's something written in Latin. Then he finds a royal flush in the seat cushions of the couch. Yeah. They go to the fucking toilet,
bathroom, yeah.
And then there's a forklift toy in there. And they go, the warehouse! And we see everybody in the warehouse searching through all the boxes, and Pam's like, did you actually have a grail? And Jim's like, I don't remember. I don't remember if there was one in there. And so, as they're searching in the warehouse, Dwight's like, no, man, there's nothing down here. Like, let's just give it up. And Jim's like, I'm so disappointed in young Jim. And then we see Glenn in the office dunking his donut into a golden chalice. Yeah.
It should also be noticed here that Meredith's wig of the week is like this curly Harpo Marx wig.
Her wigs are fucking fantastic.
It's money.
And I love that they're having that consistency.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, she shaved her head, so we're going to play with these wigs. So, guys, that was a cold open best of
that was
the
good.
Season.
Yeah, that was really good. I liked that one a lot.
And that's probably the best part of the episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is...
And we're being completely honest.
For some reason, I'm looking at my score here, and I don't think it's going to sync up with yours. I know. So, let's go.
All right, guys. So, first we see Nellie, Aaron, and Plop. And I put Ploop. they are the youth... The social media team, essentially. Yeah. So Nelly assembled this task force to get their social media presence up and running. So Aaron and Plop are explaining how they created a bunch of fake profiles, which are basically just Pete with
and sunglasses.
And he liked Dunder Mifflin's page in hopes that... and then they created a bunch of his friends who liked all of his likes. Mm-hmm. And they're hoping to get the ball running. But right now, they're only popular with fake people. and Nellie is so happy she teamed up with Aaron, but we can see, like, Aaron's super into Pete, and I think that's when Nellie notices it as well.
She does this earlier? No, that's later.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's definitely later. I see when it comes.
So then we're down in Philly, and Jim has a big lunch meeting, and he's like, oh, but it's gotta be on the early side, because I gotta go back up to Scranton for that thing, which we find out is Cece's dance recital.
P.P. Halpert, who has grown astronomically in 2 years?
Well, yeah, she's like 3 now.
Because she was born in the middle of season 6, right?
5.
No, she was pregnant.
Six.
No, because their wedding is
they
like...
They found out they were pregnant at the end
she was
of
born
five.
At the end of season 6, I
yeah.
think. So it's only been like 2 years, and this girl's like the baby and Honey, like I Blew Up the Kid. She's like,
no, she's like 3 years old. She because seems if you big. Remember, they already had another kid.
I guess.
They have Philip, so that's he's at least 6 months old.
This child looked large compared to one that was born in that time frame.
But. Yeah, but if we remember, we have a cousin that has a very large 4 year old. People think he's like 7 years old.
And a one year old who's wearing 5T.
The obesity epidemic is very real in America.
Holy shit, you went there. Okay, I wasn't going to go
so
there.
So anyway, then we see Dwight at the office. He's making fun of Jim's company. Mm. And then he finds out that Daryl works there. Because, like, Daryl has a gym bag that says athlete on it.
Yep.
And Daryl's like, yeah, but I'm working there part-time on the weekends. So now Dwight is upset, and he's basically paranoid. He calls Jim, and he's like, you're trying to poach everyone. And Jim's like, yep, and I'm not going to stop until I poach everyone, including you.
They totally make Dwight into Michael.
Yeah.
In this episode.
Like Dwight's an idiot. Yeah, like, Dwight was always an idiot,
yeah.
But he was, like, cunning. A competent
yeah,
idiot.
He had, like, sense. Because he was the one who would always be like, Michael, that's dumb. Like, that's not going to work. And, like...
Now he's like, oh, this is so bad. I will never let you poach me.
I'm starting to doublethink this. Okay, go ahead. Oh, yeah, Pam walks up to...
So Pam then goes up to Angela and asks her if she heard about the mural that Senator Lipton put her up for. And Angela's like, no, I haven't heard yet. And she's like, all right, well, I'm leaving to go to CC's recital. So now she calls Jim on the way there. And he's like, I was just about to call you, which... Mm-hmm. Sure you were, because she said, I just got out to make this phone call, and she called you Jimothy. But anyway, he's like, one of our key investors is pulling out, he's getting cold feet,
no,
so I'm still here.
Did that happen?
Yeah. He's still in here, okay. He's still in Philly, so he asked, because she's on her way to the recital with Cece in the back, and she's like, Cece, Daddy's going to be home for dinner. Denied.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So now, he asked her, like, can you record it for me? And she's like, yeah. And he goes, well, you know, are you sure you know how to record it? Because you're not really good at the phone. She's like, I think I know how to hold a brick, Jim, like
rectangle.
A square. Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever it is. It's an old iPhone, okay? Yeah. It's like one of the original iPhone models.
Mm.
So now, Aaron and Plop.
They got their first like.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was trying to read my notes. Yeah. They have one real like, so they're super excited. And that's
they
when
Nellie...
They
do, like, this cute handshake thing together, yeah.
And that's when Nellie's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
They're into each other. And I copied... And I did it. And I copied Andy on every email. Mm-hmm. Like, go team! And so now we're back. Dwight is trying to trick everyone into signing a Dunder Mifflin loyalty pledge.
Yep.
Under the guise that it's a coffee order. And he wants all of the customer complaints on Daryl. So he goes to...
Clark.
Yes, thank you. And he asks him to use the keyword Daryl, complaint, competency, bunch of shit. And he goes, dude, they have a setup on Windows 95.
That's hilarious.
And he's like, just print out all of the complaints then. And he starts... And it's one of those old...
It's like a dot matrix.
That's
matrix,
like...
I remember those.
Dad used to have one.
Yeah, back in like 92 we had one of those.
Yeah. So, now, Dwight calls a meeting to discuss customer loyalty, and he has an angry customer there, and, he says that the guy is angry because Daryl screwed up his order. So the man's like, no, I'm not really angry. So then Daryl says, sir, your order was late, but we had two trucks down for repairs, and it's very unlikely you'll have a late shipment, again. Mm-hmm. And the guy's just like, oh, all right, sounds good. Thanks for letting me know. And Dwight won't let him leave. So then Nellie tries to inadvertently, like, make Aaron and Plop feel guilty.
Yeah, it turns into in front of the conference room thing. She starts talking about how customer loyalty is like being faithful in a relationship.
Yeah.
And flirting is like, you know, how would the other person feel? And she's targeting Plop and Aaron.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
And then Angela was like...
Oh, yeah, they start acting... Like, everybody gets involved.
But I do like how Aaron's like, didn't you cheat on Andy? And she goes, yes. And he did not like it. Like, she owns her shit, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're at the recital, and Cece's team, her group, goes on to dance. Apparently, Jim had worked with Cece on doing a spin and blowing a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And so her group is dancing.
Pam's recording it.
And then her phone starts ringing, which I don't even think they needed these, like, actors next to her. They were like,
oh, yeah.
You're very rude, you know.
What are you doing? The kids are doing it. It's like...
Yeah,
it's they weren't as cool as... what was that guy's name at the christening? The only funny part of that episode? Yeah, oh, like, come Davey. On, Davey. Yeah, Davey. What?
Davey's uncle.
Yeah. Oh God, that guy was the best.
Oh, right. David's really cute. Davey. Yeah. His name's Davey.
We're going out to Friendly's.
Friendly's, yeah. Round up at Friendly's in 5. So, she gets a call, and she answers it, and she's like, oh my God, I got the mural! Yeah, oh my God!
She, like, yells out.
And then that's when they're like, you're very rude. And she's like, uh-huh, sure.
And she goes back to recording. She goes back to
recording. We see Cece do her little spin and kiss thing. It's adorable. So now we're with Dwight and Daryl, and they're saying goodbye to the customer, and Dwight is like, oh, me and Daryl will be here to service your account for years and years and years and years. And that's when Daryl's like, listen, man, I want to get out because I want to have, if it's possible to have fun at work, like, I want to have fun. And Dwight, like, takes that as an offense. Like you don't have fun here?
Dwight always wanted it to not be fun, that they should get their work done. Like, this is a totally against type for Dwight. And the thing is, like, there's nothing building up to it at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they really just got an old Michael Scott script and plugged Dwight's name in.
Mm-hmm. And I will get to that in
my
comments.
Okay.
So now we're back in the conference room, and everyone's now discussing if Aaron and Plop have hooked up or not. Aaron apparently becomes intelligent again, stands up for herself, and she's like, I think I know what I need to do for myself. Like, she, like, just becomes competent.
I'm a big, strong, independent woman. Yeah. I don't need no man.
Yeah, something like that. And then Aaron asks Nelly to shut down the Youth Task Force, which is apparently what they named her and Plop. So now, back in Philly, the guy is still going to pull out. Pam calls Jim. He's really stressed. She's excited. She gets his voicemail, and she's like, oh, call me when you get a chance. So now Glenn tells Daryl that he has to go out on a delivery. And he's like, nah, man, I don't do that anymore. And Glenn's like, I don't know. That's what they said. Mm-hmm. He goes out, and it's Dwight in the truck.
He kidnaps him.
He has, like, a fucking, like, it's not a disco ball, but one of those little balls that have the different colored, like, screens on it that go around.
A strobe?
No.
What?
It's always in Spencer's. It's like a little black ball, but it has little circles cut out and has different colors.
Yeah, like a strobe light.
Yeah, but it's not a strobe light.
Okay, but I know.
But it goes around in a circle and it has different lights, like colored lights going.
I had no idea that was in. I didn't even notice that.
Oh yeah,
you just went into graphic detail about
it. Yeah, sorry. And then he's like, "Let's have fun." He starts the fun song tonight, which was really big at the time, I'm assuming. Mm. And he's like, "We're gonna have fun," and Dwight's like, or Daryl's just like, fuck me. He looks right at the camera like,
Can't get out of a moving car now.
Yeah. So now, Toby is complimenting Nelly on the meeting, and he hugs her very awkwardly and asks why she's so against Aaron and Plop. And he points out all of Andy's flaws, and he's like,
he left for the Bahamas on a boat.
Yeah.
He is a horrible lover. He says lover, which is just makes me feel dirty and icky.
I don't know if it's just, I think it's just because it's Toby. And that word choice was very deliberate.
Yes.
That's the thing. They fuck up every character this season except for Toby. Toby's fucking phenomenal. He remains in creepy. Season 9. Yeah.
Well, then he holds her hand.
Well, that's just it. Smile if you love men's prostates.
So awesome.
But, and he's just like, you know, not every... He does. He, like, reaches for her hand. He's like, not everybody has what we do. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm sorry, what the fuck did you just say?
She forgot that they kissed.
Yeah. She kissed him to shut him the fuck up about the strangler case, too. So now Dwight is getting fast food, and he orders a milkshake. And Daryl's like, why the hell are you getting a milkshake? It's 30 degrees out here, which... It's very real in Northeastern Philly.
Yeah, I still drink milkshakes. Yeah, I just had a bowl of ice cream after dinner tonight. I don't care.
I order milkshakes in the winter,
By the way, it's fucking freezing tonight. Anyway.
It's like 20 degrees tonight. We're here with, like, fucking milkshakes. But anyway, and Dwight gets his milkshake, and he's like, oh, wait till you see this. Fire in the hole! And he throws it at the guy, and he's like, it's a YouTube thing. Daryl's just like, why would you do that? They make minimum wage.
And he steals the keys.
He takes the keys out so that Dwight can't run away. So now we see Pam. She goes to show the video of the recital to Oscar and Angela, who are very enthusiastic. They're like, all right, let's get this over with.
When he says, let's get this over with, like a woman who wants to get to sleep and the husband's horny, you know?
And they realize that she didn't get very much of it because of the phone call. And she's like, you know what? I wanted to tell them that I got a phone call about the mural, but I really want Jim to be the first one, because when I tell him really good news, he always goes, Beasley! Really excited. She's like, it's all worth that. Beasley!
She botched it. P.P. Yep. Halpert's recital. Gone.
Gone forever. Forever. So now Aaron's being weird around Pete. I don't care. Dwight is now cleaning milkshake off of the oven, like the stove,
yeah,
everything the in floor. The restaurant. And Dwight's, or Daryl's standing there with the manager like, you missed a spot. Clean it up. And then he gets a milkshake thrown on him. And he goes, ha ha, joke's on you. They make you come back and clean it up. And like all the workers are like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So now Nellie goes and she tells Pete and Aaron that she has to reassemble the youth task force and that they have no choice in the matter.
Tough
and everybody
titties.
Knows that they have no choice in the matter.
Tough titties. They have to work together.
My comment is literally in all caps, ugh.
Yeah, because they walk out.
Because then they walk out, yeah. And Aaron's like, all like, I have no choice but to be with Pete now.
And then they do like the look back, like Klopp is going to the annex. He looks over his shoulder. He's like, hey.
I
she's like,
kill myself when I watch that.
And Nellie's just like, oh, see, I did the right thing for love.
And then Toby, best part, Toby comes out and he rubs his shoulders and he's like, you never stop surprising
me. He's like, he's literally like the HR guy who talks to everybody about their inappropriateness is like molesting her.
The guy who gave Oscar his socks because he had open-toed sandals on.
So awesome.
Is her, like rubbing her shoulders down. Yeah. What the fuck? He used to be a seminarian.
That's right. He was going to be a priest.
So now Daryl and Dwight come back. And I don't think anything really...
I just have Dwight and Daryl arrive back.
Yeah.
That's all I've got written here.
I think he's just, like, Daryl's just like, oh, because Dwight was like, Dwight wasn't that fun?
Yeah, Dwight failed.
He's like, no, man, it wasn't fun. Yeah. It wasn't a good time. I'm still going to leave. Mm-hmm. So now everybody's leaving.
Here we go, guys. The main event of this fucking show. All right. This
everyone's
is,
leaving.
I never knew this was a thing.
Yeah.
I've heard, like, rumors that there's Jim and Pam in season 9. I got to witness it, and holy shit, what the fuck?
Yeah. So now everybody's leaving, and Jim calls Pam. And Jim's just like, I don't know what we're going to do. We lost our investor. Like, this is a ton of money that we're going to have to make up. And he's like, can you please figure out a way to upload? Because apparently you can't fucking text videos at this point in time. Which I don't really know. I don't know. I didn't
get a phone until I was 23.
Yeah,
I held off as long as I could.
I didn't get an iPhone until, like, 2015.
I held off as long as I could.
Yeah.
It was a great time. And I'll be honest now that, like, the only social media I have is the for this show on Twitter, life's grand. Life is great, man. I love it.
So now he asked her to upload the video because he's like, I just need something, like,
to
be happy about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a pick-me-up. We all have
those
days.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And Pam's like, oh, you know what? I didn't actually get it. I guess I was too cocky about my rectangle holding skills. And Jim just like, are you serious right now? And she's like, yeah, I wasn't that good at it. And he's just like, Pam, that moment's gone forever now. What's wrong with you? And you think this is funny? Like, he goes in on her and she's just like, whoa. Excuse me, that moment's gone forever because maybe you shouldn't have been in Philly for it. Maybe you should have been here. And then
they're both so wrong in this conversation.
Cool. And they just go at each other and he's just like, oh, you think that I'm down here for my own selfish reasons, Pam? And she's like, I don't know. It's way harder than I thought it was going to be, Jim. This is not what I thought it was going to be. And he comes back at her. Like, it's just going back and forth.
Blaming each other,
exactly. And, they argue about who's doing what for who. And she starts crying and he's like, then the guys at his office come out and they're like, yo, Jim, we need you. And he's just like, all right, I have to go. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay. And she like can barely get the words out. She's like, okay. Like, and that like seems so genuine to me.
Yeah.
Like being a female, I don't know if you can relate to that.
No,
like,
I don't know.
Trying to hold back tears not when you're in an argument.
Only when Rufio gets stabbed. That's it.
But, like, trying to hold back tears so that you can seem like, you didn't break me.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, that was so, like, gut-wrenching for me. But, like, you can also see where Jim is, like, his heart just got pulled out of his chest.
Yeah, because Pam let him down. Pam said, she told him, I can do it. Don't tuck me down.
Yeah.
And she also, I will say this, there's a way, especially in communication and relationships, mm-hmm. when you hear a certain tone in somebody's voice,
you know. Don't
push. And Pam just made a joke out of it, even though Jim's just like, we might go under, and I might lose this job. And she's still like, got cute about it.
I might lose 10 grand of our money.
So she like she stepped on that landmine.
Yes, she did.
And for the first time, we see angry Jim.
Yeah, ever.
And like I said, both are right and both are wrong completely in this scenario.
Yeah.
Because both of them are selfish.
Yeah.
They're both thinking about themselves. Although Jim claims that, I mean, and to a sense I buy it. Like, he's like, if I can be happier, I can be a better dad. I'll make more money if this is, he's like,
if this is,
he's
taking a gamble. It'll be a better life for all of us.
He's taking a gamble on himself to make a better life for his family.
Yeah.
And, like, I get it. And I also get where Pam is like, well, I didn't know it would be this hard.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's just like, well, suck it up, buttercup.
I didn't know it would be this hard, but also, like, I was happy with our life before. We didn't need to take this risk. You wanted to take this risk.
Maybe they did, though, because if Jim was going to be miserable, you know? And that's the thing. It all comes down to the happiness financial balance in relationships. And obviously, Pam is happy just doing whatever, but Jim is not. Jim is like, okay, we're financially okay, but I'm empty inside.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a real thing.
Not
especially
completely fulfilled just by family.
Exactly. Like, well, when you spend 40 hours of your week doing something, that's just as much time as you spend with your family, almost.
Yep.
So, why would you want to be miserable for that time? And I know this is probably something that people in their mid to late 30s grapple with regularly, so I get it.
Yeah.
And, so, like, it all makes sense. It's all good. But then...
Then, she hangs up, and she puts her head in her hands. And then she looks up, she has tears in her eyes, her voice is breaking, she goes, what am I doing wrong, Brian?
Yeah, she's talking to someone off camera.
Yeah, and the boom mic guy, who we find out is Brian, drops his fucking boom mic.
This fucking guy.
And he's like, guys, can we shut the camera off? He's like, knelt down next to her, he's like, you didn't do anything wrong.
I'm sorry, I just had to whisper that to you right now. But
anyway, and he's just like, guys, can we cut the camera?
He's very fucking dramatic.
Yeah.
And Pam is like, Brian.
Yeah.
She's like fucking sobbing to this guy.
Yeah. So then all the cameras go down, and our closing shot is Daryl is watching the YouTube video of Dwight getting milkshake thrown at him repetitively.
Oh, yeah, he's just watching it over and over.
And he's just like, sometimes work can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Okay.
What did you get?
Yeah, I was going to say, first we're going to get grades out of the way. And I'm looking at mine right now, and I'm starting to think I might want to redo it. I have 3.2.
Which, wow.
After talking about this, seems extremely high because of the three storylines. The Dwight-Daryl one is garbage. Aaron and Plop is garbage. Nellie and Toby are cool. Yeah. And then the Jim...
That's not a storyline,
though. The Jim-Pam one we talked about at the end of the last episode, where it's getting, like, super serious and
set. Yeah.
So it's not a... it ceases
it's a
being
drama.
A comedy. Yeah. And it's different, but I mean, like... I was into it, kind of. Like, I was like, oh, this is, like, well-written, and, like, the performer, like, the actors are doing a good job. And then all of a sudden, this guy who looks like he's, the best friend in a Hallmark Christmas movie...
My God!
...steps in.
No, like, he is the woodshop owner in a Hallmark movie.
He's like, oh, yeah, I make bets on my lathe.
He's Mr. Banker, gonna steal your girl.
Yeah. And he just walks in, and he's just like, guys, calm down. Guys, what are you doing? We got Pam, are you okay? And it's like, what the fuck is happening? This is fucking threw me for a loop. And, like, after that, I was just like, fuck it! Why? I'm gonna redo this. I'm gonna do a 2-2. It's a 2.2. What'd you give it?
1.9.
Oh, wow. That's like your lowest one ever.
Yeah. So, I said Aaron's relationships are literally killing the mood, the tone, the overarching enjoyment of this show for me.
I believe that, yeah.
I said Daryl and Dwight are just, they're not good together. They don't play off of each other
well. The thing is, they have been in the past. Like the gym one. You remember the gym one? That was okay.
It was okay, but...
Yeah, it's not a home run.
It's not a strong pairing.
No.
Those two characters
especially
don't,
since this
don't
was a
play
Michael
off
Scott
each other
thing.
Very well.
This was Michael Scott.
If Michael Scott and Daryl did that, I could... that would have been enjoyable. It would have been believable.
Yeah, with Dwight, though, like, that whole thing was such
Or even stretching an Andy and Daryl moment.
Well, yeah, because they've had moments, too.
I could understand that. But Daryl and Dwight are just not good, it's not a good pairing well, it's just to have a bad, an entire storyline around.
Maybe it would work if it was one way, but like it literally was a rehashed Michael Scott. Like, don't you love working here? Or don't you want to be part of the family? Like, fuck you.
But I have to agree with you. The Jim Pam stuff was dramatic. It's not comedy.
It was bad. Yeah, it's not bad well at all. Written. And just the ending.
There's Brian.
Because, and the thing is, part of me is like, play it out, see where it goes, because I don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, now I'm curious. Was Pam fucking this camera guy? And then at the same time, I was like, ratings. This is such a ploy. This is a throw shit at the wall, see if we can get people talking because the season is tanking.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a total, like, life vest move. Or, well, what do you call them? Lifesaver.
Yeah.
You know, throw them out in the ocean. It's like, that's all it is. That's the way it came across to me, because at first I was just like, oh, why? Why is this happening?
Yeah, that's my and we're gonna that's see my work. Score, and if I couldn't go any higher than that.
No, I don't blame you at all, because, like, looking back, like, you know what? I want to say one thing, because we're about halfway through season 9 now.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw season 9. I never saw season 8.
Mm-hmm.
Nelly in season 8 is one of the worst characters I've ever seen. Season 9, she just blends in. She's a cast member. Yeah. She's like a regular office ensemble. Worker who just has an accent.
Yeah.
I don't, like, I know that there's a lot of hate I've heard for her. Maybe, it, you know, in the last 10 episodes or whatever of this season, maybe it gets worse. But
season 8, I think, was the peak of her awfulness.
It was trash.
But I think it was just, like, because that was your initial...
It was so bitter.
Like, that was your introduction to her.
It was bitter.
Like, she was just shoved down your throat. If they had introduced her like they did in the 9th season, it would have been better. Maybe. It's more...
She's there trying to prove herself.
Yeah,
almost.
It's more easy on the palate.
Yeah.
It's a palate cleanser for Nelly in but season 9.
I just want to say, she's pretty inoffensive.
Yeah.
She's not great by any means, but she's inoffensive.
She's not great, but
she's
like,
not as bad. She's not like this doom and gloom I've heard about.
Yeah.
So. But anything else we want to talk about?
No, I don't want to talk about that episode anymore.
All right, guys. That'll wrap it up for this week. However, next week we'll be covering episodes 13 and 14 of season 9. Junior Salesman and Vandalism.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Make sure to get in touch with us if you want to on Twitter at Brosis Podcast. Follow back. We're Follow Back Whores.
Mm-hmm.
You can send any long-form feedback to brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. And you can also find us on any podcasting app that you use, whether it be Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, Podbean, wherever. And you can find us on the Jenny Position podcast feed each and every Monday, along with other great shows such as Journey Through Infinity, Talk and Pop, and Freak Out Drive-In. So that'll do it for this week, Mayor Bear, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll catch you guys on down the road.
Thanks, guys.